Log Talk Radio.
Falling in love with Jesus. Falling in love with Jesus.
Smith McCoy, and we just thank God today because God is still in control. Yes, He is the Alpha and Omega. He is the beginning and the end. He is the first and the last. He is the true and the living God. Yes, we would like to welcome you to another segment of the Crossroad Broadcast. You still have time to call a neighbor, call a friend, and tell them that the Crossroad Broadcast is on the air. Our today's topic will be that of the causes of financial problems. I believe that you ought to call two or three people, maybe four or five people, that they need to be here a part of this broadcast so that they can see how to manage their financial problems. We live in a time today that many people need help with their finance. But at this time, we're getting ready to go before the throne of grace. Our Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we thank you, we praise you, we magnify your name. God, we thank you for all that you have done. Oh, God, that you're going to do according to your word. We thank you, good God, that your word is a lamp unto our feet, and your word is a light unto our pathway. God, that word have we hid in our heart that we will not sin against thee. Lord, we thank you, God, for bringing us this for God's sake. We thank you, God, for giving us, Lord God, another opportunity, Lord God, to speak into the heart of your people. Now, Lord God, even as we minister through this broadcast, God, even as we talk about finance today, we pray your anointing, your power, and your spirit, God, upon, God, the Christian counselors, God, that will be on this broadcast, God, that you will use them for your glory and for your honor. And for this, we will glorify and praise thy name. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Yes, you still have time to call a neighbor, call a friend. Tell them that the Crossroad Broadcast is on the air. We're going to be talking about financial counseling, and we want you to just to get ready because we have Dr. June Normill with us again today as part of our breakthrough, our Crossroad Broadcast. And we want you to just to get ready to hear of the woman of God as she began to talk to us about the causes of financial problems. But first, we're going to go and we're going to talk about, lead you in to the first segment of financial counseling. And everybody need to know that it's not that you don't have to give up in the condition that you're in. You may be, it seems like it's unstable, things are not going right. See, there's no hope for you, but I want you to know that God is able to move on your behalf. I want you to know that God is able to lead you, guide you, and to all truth so that you can know how to be able to manage your business affairs and your financial affair. So let's talk about Randy today. Randy, he is a professional musician, and he, matter of fact, he formed his first band when he was in high school. Now he's almost 3 years after Randy has graduated, and his group spent hours and hours practicing every day. Because, you know, it takes hours, it takes time to practice and to be a musician in order to play well. So this is what Randy was doing. But it seems at this time, what he was doing, it seemed like it was worthwhile doing. And we shouldn't do anything if it's not worthwhile. We don't see it progressing. We don't see a turnaround. We don't see things are happening when we're doing certain things in our life. So here we see that, you know, that here we see Randy, how he has spent all these hours in practicing his music. and he really thought that this was a worthwhile thing. The band that he had hired for a few local concerts and the audience, it seemed kind of small, the audience that they were playing to, and also, but the audience seemed like they was appreciative and they had a lot of enthusiasm. So he thought, you know, this is something good. This is something good that we are doing. And this is something that he wanted to pursue. But yet the audience, they showed their appreciation. They showed their enthusiasm. But the enthusiasm and the appreciation, it wasn't really paying the bills because the money wasn't coming in like he probably expected that the money was going to come in. You may be thinking, you know, I'm working on a job like that. I'm doing something, my own thing, and I'm expecting at any day now for me to make a whole lot of money. It has been after he had graduated, but yet things still not adding up, and the money wasn't coming in. And so, matter of fact, Randy was getting further and further into debt. He admitted freely that he was using what a lot of people use. A lot of people using that plastic car, that, you know, that Visa, that MasterCard, the gold card, the Discover, whatever you may be using. And I don't know what kind of car Randy had, but he had a plastic car. And all he had to do was show it up. All he had to do is use it. And all he did was add more and more debt to him. He is not the only one that used plastic cards. There are millions of other people that are doing the same thing to get by, to be able to pay their bills by using their credit cards, like other people do, like many, many people do. And they kind of do it to make life easier for them. And that's what you have to think about. You know, whether I'm making life easier, am I making life more difficult for me? And it seems okay at the time when you're doing it. It seems okay, just like you're pulling out a $50, $100 bill, $300 or $400, I'm going to do it instead of cash in my head. I'm going to use this money in order to buy what I want. So he is very intense on, he seems like he wants to pay his bills, but it seems although that he has poor money management. It's one thing to desire to pay the bill. As another thing it is to pay your bill. So when he got short of money, his food was scarce. It was easy to just him to rationalize to use his car, like many people do. This attitude has put Randy, and he's over $8,000. I don't know how much you in debt. I don't know how many cards you have used and have you in debt. It could be less than Randy. It could be more than Randy. But Randy was $8,000 in debt. And recently he had to really borrow money from his car to pay another car. And that's one of the things people really get in trouble, especially college students. When they go to college, the cards out there, those Visa and MasterCard, they're there, they're available for them. And they, instead of them knowing the principles and of using those things and being wise in using the credit cards, they get an unsurmountable money of things that they want, not just because they need it, because they want it, and because those cards are there. But by him in so much of debt, he is having to borrow from one card and to pay the interest on another card. He's talking about getting a steady job, starting to with pay off some of the debt that he was in. But this, it meant if he get a steady job, then, well, he doesn't have to think about abandoning his love, which was music. It wasn't making any money, but I love it. It wasn't paying the bills, but I love it. I love what I'm doing. And sometimes we have to think about Randy. We should think about Randy, what Randy is going through. So he began to continue to practice and hope that his big break going to come. How many people are waiting for that big break? How many people are waiting for the lottery? Matt, I'll go to the lottery. I'm going to pay the lottery to win a whole lot of money, but you're getting more and more in debt. Are you borrowing from a friend, a associate? Are you just doing all of these things that you're going to regret? And you're thinking that your success is going to come through and you're going to be able to pay off the debt. And that's what Randy saw. But it really wasn't working out that way. In the meanwhile, he kept accumulating more and more bills. He's progressively, and many times when people get bills, and it seems like, you know, they're not actually stacking up and coming in your face and coming in your head, but it began to make you progressively worried. You get worried, you get like anxiety because of the fact, you're fearful because of the fact that, you know, I can't pay these bills. I can't pay for my car. I can't pay for my school loan. I can't pay the light bill. I can't pay the water bill. I need some gas and I need something to eat. But because of the fact that you have not managed your finance, then you find yourself being worried about your financial problem. So somebody listening to us today, and we want you to really hear what Randy did, because life can be, it can help be very helpful to all of us if we will be able to just to take notes, to be able to know that sometimes you see other people, then you can be one of those people that can learn and glean from what they do. When we think about Randy, sometimes his anxiety, his fears interfere with his music. It was once a love. It's something that he loved doing. But then he had to worry about paying the bills and paying those things that he was taking care of his needs. So it was a fearful type thing as well, because he was having anxiety because he couldn't pay and meet his obligation. Randy now knows that what many others have learned, it is difficult to relax and be efficient at work when one is particularly worried about finance. And you can identify with Randy. You know, you can't even concentrate on your whatever work you do because you're worried about the bills and running and worried about the telephone calls and worried about are they going to take your car or whatever you may be worried about. Now, let me talk about the Bible and finance. The Bible says that it says a lot about finance. It says a lot about our possession and the management of finance. It's really good to read the Word of God. The Scripture states and it summarizes in the form of several basic principles. Now, we're not going to be able this Monday to talk about some of the principles, all of the principles, but we want you to join us on next week because it will be a continuation. Because I think that this is going to be a blessing to many people. so that they can earnestly be able to manage their finance. Point one is money and possessions must be viewed realistically. Randy did not view the things that he was going through realistically. He thought that maybe it was going to go away. He thought that he was going to get this good job, and all the money that he had from this job, by having a good job, it was going to pay for some of the things that he was going through. It didn't happen when he thought that it was going to happen. Remember, in one of the parables, Jesus described a man whose life had been spent in the accumulation of wealth. But the man died, and the man was unprepared to meet God and forced to leave his precious possession to somebody else. Could you imagine you have all of this possession, cars, houses, clothing, all this different money in the bank, but then this man, he didn't know God. I'm not going to say he didn't really know God. He didn't know God. Because when you know God, if you have common sense, you're going to do those things that's going to please God and not yourself. But this man, he was unprepared to die and to meet God, and he was forced. So you don't know the day or the hour that you're going to leave this earth, whether it's in the morning, a noon, a midnight, or whatever hour it is during the day. So whether you're rich or poor, you need to live right for God. You need to do all you can in order to what? To do what? To please God. So Jesus called this type of man a fool. He was rich in worldly wealth, but he was poor in his relationship with God. Things have not changed in modern times. Many people still live lives that are dominated by the love of money and the pursuit of influence. Do you know someone like that? Or you can look closer and examine yourself to make sure that you're not that individual. We're here to let you know that God is concerned about your finance. He's concerned about everything in your life. As we began to unfold this story about Randy, it just let us know that he was very uncomfortable, and he began to be fearful for the state that he was in. And we're coming almost to the end of this, but I wanted to share with you about several successful American businessmen. They met in 1921. The group included most of the successful, spectacular, successful men on Wall Street, a cabinet members, and the president of the New York Stock Exchange. They also included the Bank of International Settlement and the largest steel company in the United States, and the largest utility company, and the largest gas company. So you know you're dealing with a lot of money and a lot of rich people that owned it, that had the money. But then a few years later, all of these men, all of them, they died. Three had committed suicide. Three had been in prison. And one had gone insane. Two of the men, they died of bankruptcy. And all had been ruined by the Great Depression of 1930. You probably read about that, the Depression in the 1930s. It happened at a time when millions of common people, they had sense enough to tighten their budget and went on living. Come on. They know they didn't have much, So what do? They tighten their budget and they live accordingly. But these people, these men, they had been destroyed because their lives were centered around money. When money was gone, there was little purpose in living. They didn't think about so much they could have. All they thought about the money that they lost. Yes, I've heard of people jumping out of windows because of the fact that the money was gone. You know, what is money when you're dead? And these men, they all died. When money was gone, there was little purpose for them in living. Even Sider, perhaps, is the example of some modern preachers. They're like television evangelists whose ministry and personal life have been marked permanently by a preoccupation with fundraising and affluent lifestyle. According to the scripture, money is temporary. You need to listen to that. Money is temporary. It's good to have, but it's temporary. It's not going to go with you. You're not going to have a stack of it when you get ready to be raptured up. You're not going to have a stack of it when you're going, when you die. And that's why if you're in Christ, you're not going to be worried about the money. You enjoyed it while it was here. You was able to give to charities. You was able to give to those that are in need. You was able to help other people. So these men, they weren't even thinking about things like that. So therefore, look at all the things that happened to them. Ultimately, it does not satisfy. Money does not bring happiness. It does not bring stability. Perhaps this is one of the reasons why we are warned to keep our lives free from the love of money and to be contented with what we have. If riches increase, we are not to set our heart on them. Come on. Don't set, no matter how much money you get, no matter how many millions of dollars that you get, don't set your heart to them. It's just people, like people winning the lottery. You know, they're rich for a while, and then they come up, a lot of them, they're poor again because they didn't have any financial type learning. They didn't seek first the kingdom. They didn't give money to God and kept giving it to him and keep trusting in him. They didn't do things like that. But money in itself is not condemned in the scripture, but the love of money and the dependence on riches clearly are wrong. We're going to put just a pin there right now today, and we're going to continue on next week. But we're going to get ready to go to Dr. Jim Normell, who is another professional Christian counselor like I am, and she's going to talk to you about the causes of financial problems. Don't forget, if you have a friend or neighbor or somebody you want to call, you still have time. Call them and let them know that they're talking about finance on the Crossroad broadcast, and this is something that you need to hear. Let's welcome Dr. Jim Normell to the Crossroad broadcast. Dr. Normell.
Thank you, Dr. McCoy, giving you greetings. And I thank God for giving me the opportunity today to come before you. In Radio Land, I give you greetings also. And as she said, my topic today will be the causes of financial problems. And you have time to get a pen and paper to write down some of these great nuggets God has given us, because there are some things that are going to impact our lives and it will change our way in the way and the manner that we handle our finances. Amen. And, you know, there are some people, you know, who live day to day from paycheck to paycheck, financially above, on top of the mountain, during a certain time of the month, and then at the other part, they flat broke. Have you ever experienced that? You know someone experienced that? That's not unusual. And then on the other hand, you got other people who managed to get along, you know, without great hardship. But it seems to be impossible for them to save money and even to have enough cash, enough to meet the family personal needs. And then a lot of times people just argue about the pressure comes, they think, and they say because there's too little money and just too many expenses. But the financial difficulties, however, appear at all sociology economic levels. For the wealthy people, financial problem involves a greater amount of money. If you have more money, you're going to have more problems. But the root cause are similar for those who face less problems, even those with less money. They all have the same root problem that caused financial difficulties. And it's a myth that's always commonly been said. I know you've heard it time and time before, that the more money you have, the less problem you'll have. And I know you know that's not true by now. You can have an excessive amount of money and still have financial problems. Financial problems are not determined about and by how much money you have or how much less money you have, but it is determined about how do you possess, how do you invest, how do you use the money that you do have. But financial mismanagement is the root cause of financial problems. I'm going to say that again. Financial mismanagement is the root cause of financial problems and is identified by numbers of different characteristics, a lot of things that will cause you and be able to see and be able to identify what the root problem of it is. And I'm going to mention a few of them today. So get your pencil and paper. You can write down some of these things that might stick out to you. The first thing is distorted values. That's the first thing that has a characteristic of being a problem to a financial problem, is distorted values. And the way you see a person handle money, it could be a good indicator of how one value money. You know, everybody spend money and use money on things that they consider to be important. You know, however, sometimes whatever you consider important, it may not be important that it should be and that you think it should be, and it also caused you to come in debt. And not only this to the unsaved people, even Christians, they slip into accepting desires and values that are non-biblical and harmful. So it's the way we distort our values about money. We think things are important to us and they're not important to us. It could be more or less than a greed, more or less than a need. And another one is materialism. Have you ever heard of the saying of a person being materialistic? Materialism is an attitude that leads us to pursue money, possessions, pleasures, and the good things of life. It leads to impatience, overindulgence, and overspending on luxuries that are nice to have, but they're not really a need. You ever had this desire to just get something because you just want it, but you really don't need it? That's a trick of the enemy, and that caused money to slip out of our hands. It caused you to be having a hole in your purse, a hole in your pocket, and you wonder, what happened to my money? Where did it go? In a place just like that, buying things that you want, but you really didn't need. And it also could even lead Christians to find satisfaction from things. Even Christians go through the same thing as non-Christians when it comes to being materialistic. You know, rather than finding satisfaction in God and his provision, we find other things to take place of that material things. You know, money has a seductive power that is capable of inspiring devotion to it, giving false sense of security, false sense of freedom, or false sense of power. It could take the very correct characteristics of a deity. If you're not careful, materialism, you can make it become a god in your life. And it overlooks the statement that Jesus said, you know, our life don't consist of the abundance of the things that we do possess. In other words, don't let things define who you are. Don't let things define who you are, because that's not who you are and who God called you to be. So material things are just only temporary. They will fade away. And another one is covetousness and greed. Covetousness and greed. And covetousness and greed, this implies a deeper desire for more. You have enough, but you just got a desire for more of something, even if others are made poor as a result of it. You can read Revelation 3:17. It talks about that. That's just being greedy. You have enough, but you just desire more, even if you don't even want, need it. And then even the covetousness, when you see somebody have something, you still don't need it. A lot of times people allow themselves to get into debt because they want to get what their neighbor got. You may see someone who just got a new car. You don't have a new car. Nothing's wrong with the car you have. You don't even have a car payment. But because you see someone with a new car, we go out there and get a new car, something materialistic. It could be a new home. It could be a list of a new dress. Go down to at least to a new hairstyle, anything. It could be even a man. Somebody could get a new boat. You want to get a new boat. That's covetousness, desire to have something that belongs to somebody else. And it also caused us to get into debt, just desire other things other people have and get things you don't even want, just being greedy and you have enough of it always. That's not even a need. When you to the point that you're just getting things that cause you to be in debt, that's just being a greed. It's not a need, it's the greed. It's covetous and greedy, having something else that belongs to somebody else. And another thing, too, and this is so prevalent now today, is a desire to get rich quick. I'm going to say that again, a desire to get rich quick. And they have so many commercials on television telling you how you could be a millionaire overnight, how you could have your own business. You don't need nothing but so much money down. You don't even need no money down. Good credit, bad credit, we don't care. Just come as you are. When you... It's just like an old saying is saying, and it's been said, if anything sounds too good to be true, believe me, it probably is. It's not true. And it's always something that you get something for nothing. Nothing for nothing leaves nothing. And you have to be beware of that, even when things concerning jobs and you might want to apply for a job. When you get into these situations where people tell you you got to invest money before you can even receive money, before you can even get a job, run, baby, run. You stay away from things like that. There's no such thing as get rich quick. You talk about anybody who you know for a fact that is prosperous, who is benefiting, who has good financial things, they'll tell you where they started from, and they'll tell you what it takes. And I know it was nothing a quick fix. And then this is another area, but I know sometimes people have been inherited something like that and things into richness. But I'm not talking about that. But even in that, if you're not wise, just as quick as you inherit something or riches, you could lose it even quicker than you receive it. And desire to get rich quick. Some people have always been impressed with the idea that they could earn a lot of money quickly with a little effort. You're going to have to put effort in anything that you get. And God has gave us a plan. He gave us a way. He said, I will give you power to create wealth. God will give you the remedy, the antidote, and the ways that are pleasing to him to get rich or to help be wealthy. And there's nothing wrong with having things, but we come into trap when we start allowing things to help us, no matter what it is. And when we get into a place that we allow things to be made a god, anything to be put before God, it is not of God. We don't allow it. God has no other God before him. And a lot of times when we get to a position that we think about material things, because even our human nature and our fleshly body, it desires, it flesh loves things. It loves attention. It loves glamour. But we got to always respect God and put him in the rightful place, that if we so happen to be granted and be privileged in grace to have riches and wealth, we got to give God the glory. There's no such thing as getting rich quick. God give us the knowledge and the power and the ability to create wealth. And no matter which way it comes, if it's done in God's way, it's the right way. We must give him the glory for that. And like I said, if it sounds too good to be true, it's probably not. And the Bible warns about against this kind of thing. But the itch for more people and for more things, it just urges some people to invest hard-earned money into programs that more often than not, it failed to deliver what they promised. So you just have to just be slow to speak, you know, and be swift to hear the voice of God and to do background checks about things you're getting into. But just believe me, it's no such thing as getting rich quick. But I'll tell you one thing, there's no such thing as getting broke quick. You just have to be wise about things like that. And another one is pride and resentment. Pride and resentment. And God hates a proud look. And a lot of times that's caused financial problems in a person too. Even though you have financial money, you have financial gain and wealth, but when you got a pride spirit behind it, and you have resentment, God, that it bothers God. And that will cause you your blessings to stop flowing. It could cause the blessings to stop flowing. You can look in Revelation 3:14-19. It talks about the church of Laodicea. You know, it took a proud attitude that it was rich and it had need of nothing because it was a prosperous city and everything. God had took them to that place, but they failed to give God the glory. And even today, you know, such people and singers, actors, stars, even televangelists, people in Christian arena, you know, they have a superior attitude, a characteristic that some people fail to realize that even when you have that in things, material thing, and not giving the glory, God the glory, you even poor and don't even realize it. You need it. The Bible says you need it. You wretched and you miserable. If they refuse to get God and rely on his wealth for security and happiness, or fail to admit that possession and success comes with, as a gift from God. In contrast to the haughty and to the rich people, there are also people who are angry at God. They're angry at God because of their lack of wealth. They're envious of those who have more. And you do have people who are jealous. You got people who are just envious of God. And you got people who are mad because other people prosper, whether they saved or whether they unsaved, and they're angry at God. And you have also received people that are not even serving God. But yet, and you'll see them prosper, and you'll see people who are Christians, and you know they probably live in a lifestyle that's not pleasing to God, but yet they seem to be prospering, and you could be struggling, and it caused you to have a resentment against God. But don't get angry at God. Don't get angry at God. You have to just learn how to be content in whatever state you're in. And a lot of times, and that's true with a lot of people, they have inward resentment and pride. You know, because of their pride, they won't allow them to openly admit that they may resent God because they seem to have struggled and made, you know, ends meet while those are not, you know, being really a true example of a Christian, and God seems to be prospering them. You know, all that's in God's hand. You just continue to do what's right and continue to do what pleases God, and God will bless you. And all those values of financial problems is caused by the less possession or non-possession or material things. And a lot of times, and majority of that is really caused by how you're going to handle that. How you handle not having, how do you handle having. And another thing is we get into the problems of financial causes is unwise financial decisions, being unwise, by impulse buying. That involves seeing and buying something without checking the prices. And a lot of times, it happened a lot of times, well, impulse buying. When you ever go to the grocery store hungry, you go there by everything you didn't even have on your list. If you had a list, everything in sight you buy, when you be in the checkout line, the line could be long, you're standing there, you're so bored, you'll find yourself picking up things, purchasing things you didn't even come there to do. You have to watch out for impulse buying. And just being careless with our money, about having a budget. You know, we spend money that we have without having a budget. We see things and we wonder why our pocket is empty and then our bank account is overdrawn. It's because of that. And also co-signing, that's another very important thing. Solomon talked about that. You can get from your Bibles, Proverbs 11:15-17, and also 18:27-27. Co-sign, the Bible talks about that. That's involved signing a statement to say that you promise to pay if someone else fails to remove a debt. Often co-signing is done for worthy motives, to someone, to help a friend, you know, to help somebody get a house or a loan or anything. But a friend doesn't pay, the co-signer is left with the one who you signed for. They off the debt. That debt is left on you. And because of that, a lot of friends, a lot of families have disintegrated. A lot of people broke out of friends and family, caused problems because people are co-signing for people who wasn't able to naturally get something on their own. If you come to somebody who couldn't get anything on their own, but some things is understandable and legit, a lot of times don't even do it. Let people have to learn how to stay in their arena. you might not need a 2013 car because of your bad credit, whatever. You start to, cause you might need a 1998, whatever it is. Whatever your credit allows you to get, that's what you need to have. But sometimes ain't nothing wrong with co-signing for people, but it's very risky. You have to very be careful about co-signing. And a lot of times, it's just lazy. Another one is just laziness, where people are too lazy to work or manage a budget. Financial problem always almost follows. And then that's like what people you see who getting government assistance and handout. Ain't nothing wrong with that. Ain't nothing wrong with that. And that's what it's for. And then you got sometimes people getting government assistance and they have put time in and working, become situations. But now they need assistance. Ain't nothing wrong with that. But a lot of times people have financial problems too because they're just too lazy to get a job. They're too lazy to work. And God said, if a man don't work, he don't eat. And it's a sin before God for people to just take advantage of programs when you're able and capable of working, but just being too lazy to work. And another thing Dr. McQuarrie talked about is that credit buying, that credit card. That's just a process of slow financial self-strangulation. And a credit card, you know, it don't seem like you're spending money because it's just so available to get what you want right then. You know, right then you just swiping it and you just everything you get right then, but the debt is steady. Piling up. And, you know, if you're caught in that credit card trap, it is hard to get out, but it's possible to get out. You pray about it, and God help you go in the right direction, how you take care of him even one by one, and you get involved. You get you a financial expert who is able to help you in that area of your finances stuff. Get them cars. Get rid of them cars. If you're not able to control yourself, you know that you get more in debt with them than without them, you don't need them. Get out of debt with no credit card. I'm telling you, it's like a big monster that calls you. Just call your name over and over, get it, to come get it. And another one is a lack of a budget. And a lot of times people think, oh, that's so old-fashioned. I don't have to write down nothing. I know what I want. I'm just going to get a few things. But you'll slip and trip just about every time. A budget is another term for a spending plan. That's all it is. When such a plan exists, when you have a budget and it's followed through, they are this control over your money. It's control on your spending and less impulse buying because you're going to get just what you went in there to get. You're going to purchase what you went to purchase. But when you just go in there on impulse like that and don't have a budget, you liable to just go ahead and overspend everything you did. Before you know it, your money is all gone. And another one is a lack of giving. A lack of giving. And I would say it more blesses to give than receive. That's another problem that could cause you to have a financial problem by lack of giving and hoarding. You know, people just pile up, just get more and more and more. It's wrong. And the person who refuses to give can hardly expect to receive God's blessing and financial guidance. Believers are to give in three areas. Hear me now. Believers, Christians are to give in three areas: to God, to other believers, and to the poor. There's no guarantee now that just because you give and you're a believer that you will in return receive abundant material things from God. God ain't no bargain business like that, but he will bless you. And even in your situation where you are, he will cause you still to be blessed, even in your situation of lack. Even if he give you a peace of mind through it, God will open doors that you have no way. But he's not saying that, okay, God, I'm doing this sin, so I expect you to do this sin. God can bless you in more ways, material, I mean, more like physically, emotional stuff, that money in ways that money can't even provide. But the believer who fails to follow the biblical directives to give, is really looking for a way just to say you walk right into a financial trap, a financial problem. And I'm going to leave you one thing that God pressed upon my heart to say, that a lack of a cause of financial problems. And one is tithes and offering. It's giving. Like you said, you give it to God as a people. But a lot of times, one thing that can hurt and hinder a person, whether you're a Christian or a non-believer, is tithes and offering. And you don't, and the same principle is in effect to the Christian and non-believer. And it's come from the Bible, from Malachi 3:8. It says, will a man rob God? Yet ye have robbed me. But you say, wherein have I robbed thee? In tithes and offering. Ye are cursed with a curse, for ye have robbed me, even this whole nation. Bring all the tithes into the storehouse, that they may be meat in my house, and prove me now, herewith said the Lord of hosts, if I will not open the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there should not be room enough to receive it. And I will rebuke the devourer for your sake, and he shall not destroy the fruits of your ground, neither shall your vine cast her fruit before the time in the field, said the Lord of hosts. And all nations shall call you blessed, for ye shall be a delightsome land, said the Lord of hosts. If you're a Christian and you're not paying your tithe, start paying your tithe. I don't know what denomination, what it is, teaches you, whatever, but the Bible talks about giving and giving to your offering and tithe. God knows it's more blessed to give and receive. And this principle works for the believer as well as the unbeliever. Give and it shall be given. God bless you. And I pray to end some of these nuggets, and all these nuggets was a blessing to you, and you will use them in your life, and your finances will increase. God bless you. Back to you, Dr. McCoy.
Thank you, Dr. Normiel. We do thank Dr. Normiel. Who is a professional Christian counselor that talked to you by the wayside of the day. And I thank God that God was able to give you all those big nuggets that are worth gold. When we can take in consideration of the things that we need as people in order to make it, in order to survive, in order to please God, to keep us from having anxiety and walking in fear and for continually to borrow and borrow and borrow. And one of the things that she said was, you know, a lot of times people don't take good care of their finance and things that they do, and that will cause them to, if they wanted to, one example she had given, they want to buy a house. And they want someone to, and she used a car, but maybe a house or whatever it may be, and you may need a co-signer to sign those things. But you need to think twice before you do that. 9 times out of 10, you don't need to do that. If a person credit, like this young man, Randy, that we talked about earlier, he had poor financial management. And no matter if he meant well or not, he wasn't coming up to what he should have been. So, therefore, he found himself in a lot of debt. Now, you may say, Dr. McCoy, $8,000 that Randy spent is not a whole lot of money. But, yes, it is, if it's going to cause you a lot of anxiety, if it's going to cause you to keep spending and spending and spending, because that $8,000 can turn into $16,000. So I just believe that God is concerned about the total man. And we are Christian counselors. So therefore, we want to be able to teach you as God will instruct us to teach you in righteousness. But we're getting ready to go before the throne of God, and we want you to join us on next Monday at the same time to another broadcast of the Crossroad broadcast. Let us pray, and then we'll come back to you. Our Father, in Jesus' name, we thank you, we praise you, we magnify your name. God, we thank you, Lord God, for that which you have given us today, God, to impart to your people. And Lord, I just believe that, God, that there were many out there that they receive on today. And God, when their heart was troubled, God, that they can take hold on this word. And God, that they can be happy and they can be rejoiceful. Because your word says, let not your heart be troubled. But ye believe in God, believe also in me. So I believe, Father God, even if you spoke to the people today, that their heart does not have to be troubled because of the things that they're going through. They can repent and do better. God, that as they have seen the way, God, of to be able to have an excellent credit rating and an excellent finance, then they'll be able to live in peace. And Father, we thank you, God, for the millions of people that are having problems, that these problems can make them better if they listen to what is being said today. And Father, we just thank you, God, even as we pray, even now. God, look upon, God, every person that's in our radio audience. Lord, I pray your blessings upon them. I pray, God, that you will touch them. I pray, God, that you will touch them, God, from the crown of their head to the sole of their feet. Lord, I pray, God, for any sickness, infirmities, God, that they've been going through. I pray, God, that your healing power will be manifested. Lord, you paid the price 2,000 years ago, God, for their healing and for their deliverance. So, Lord, I send the word, God, even now, God, to that those individuals that are having infirmities in their body, that person that has headaches, God. I pray healing, God, upon those migraine headaches in the name of Jesus. God, those, God, in the name of Jesus that's in the hospital, God, I pray, God, even now, send the word of healing, God, to those that are listening in the hospital. And God, that your miraculous, miracle-working power, God, to be manifested, God, in the people, Lord, even right now. And Lord, God, even as we pray, God, I ask the Lord to look upon those, Lord God, that are not saved. God, you said, Father God, we confess our sin, but we confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus, believe in our heart that God is raising from the dead. You said that we shall be saved. So, Lord, I pray, God, even now, that those are not saved, those that do not know you as the Lord and Savior, God, I pray, God, that they'll give their lives to you. And, God, that they won't be, God, like those rich men was at the beginning of this broadcast that had so much, Lord God, or even have so little that they didn't think, Lord God, to put you first. They didn't thank God to seek you first. I ask the Lord to touch their hearts even now, that they'll be able to say yes to your will and yes to your way. In Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen. We would like to thank Dr. June Normeal and for being giving us insight on the causes of financial blessing. Dr. Normeal is a regular panel member at the Crossroads broadcast. We want you to join us on next week on Monday at 5 p.m. at the same time. This has been Dr. Mary Smith McCoy inviting you to keep giving God the praise and thank him for all that he has done.